Joe picked that song out. It was that verse, clothed in his brightness and hiding my soul. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The title of this message is Acceptance with the Father. Acceptance with the Father. Let's look at a few verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says in verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech. And not as Moses, who put a veil over his face. You remember this, how Moses coming down from receiving, from being in God's presence, he had to put a veil over his face because of the brightness of being in God's presence. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, that is, the brightness of that giving of the law. But their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. Until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. That is, people don't see the glory of God when they read the Old Testament. They don't see the gospel when they read the Old Testament. And that veil, though, is done away in Christ. We see Christ clearly in the Old Testament Scripture. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, that Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. There's knowledge. There's freedom to see Christ clearly in the Old Testament Scripture. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, one time I preached an Old Testament type. It was that story of Abraham sending his servant down to get a bride for Isaac. I preached at a certain place, and a young man who has since left that church, I don't know if he's attending anywhere, I don't think so. He left for a big job of some sort. He came up to me after I preached the message. I had a great deal of liberty with it. He came up to me afterward and confronted me. He said, I think you're reading too much into that. He said, I don't see Christ in that passage like that. He said, you're reading too much into the text. Well, he didn't see Christ in the text. He didn't see Christ in the text. His mind was blinded. There was a veil upon his heart, upon his mind, upon his understanding. If anything, we don't see Christ clearly enough in the Old Testament Scriptures. We don't see Him clearly enough. Christ said, they are they which testify of Me. What was He speaking of? The Old Testament Scriptures. They are they which testify of Me. And when He finally revealed Himself before He went back to the glory, when He finally revealed Himself to His disciples, He told them that all things must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the first five books, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning Me. That's the whole of the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. That's all of it. So I hope, as you listen to this story I'm about to relate from the Old Testament, I hope you don't see it as a mere moral, an old story with a moral to it. But I hope you see the wisdom and the power and the glory of God Almighty as it's seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Now, this is a very old A very simple story. I hope that the Lord will give me liberty, will remove the veil, that we'll get a real blessing from this morning. I know it's there. I've had a blessing already from it. Tremendous blessing. This is a story of a man named Isaac. He's an old and dying man. And he has two sons named Jacob and Esau, or rather Esau, who is the oldest, and Jacob, the youngest. Now Isaac, the father here, is setting things in order before he is to die. Before he dies, he's leaving the business in the hands of the older son, as it were. Like calling in the oldest son, you know, to put things in his hands to make sure the business carries on while he's gone. He's preparing to bless his oldest son, Esau. Now, Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, the mother of these two men, young men, she overhears the conversation. She overhears Isaac speaking to Esau concerning the blessing, concerning giving the blessing and what he's requiring of Esau before he gives the blessing. And Isaac, while he's talking to Esau, he tells him the order of things, the way things must be before he is to receive the blessing. He tells him to go out into the field and shoot some venison. Go out into the field, spend as long as it takes to get me some venison, because I love venison, he says. It's what I love. I love good-tasting venison. And after you've done that, come in and prepare it just right. Prepare it just like I like it now. And then you come in and offer it up to me, and I'll get my belly full. I'll be happy, satisfied, and I'll bless you. And I'll bless you. Well, there's some things that we need to know concerning this story. Two things, basically. First of all, we need to know that Esau, though he was the oldest and deserving of the blessing, he sold that blessing. You remember the story of how Esau was out hunting and Jacob was in the field, I assume, tending to his sheep. It's probably a place somewhat far away from the home. And Esau had spent probably many days out hunting for something, whatever it was, and he didn't get any, evidently, because he was starving to death. And he came back, and the first place he got to before home was Jacob's camp. And he was about to faint. He thought he was about to die. Evidently, he hadn't had anything to eat for days. And he begged Jacob to give him something to eat, just a mess of pottage, anything, to fill my belly up. And Jacob, being a conniving, scheming fellow that he was, being a smart fellow that he was, he said, "I'll give you something to eat, brother. Just sell me your birthright. Sell me that blessing that belongs to you and you only. Sell it to me. Let me have it." And Esau thought, "Oh, I'll get it when the time comes. The law says the oldest is supposed to have it. I'll get it when the time comes. I'm dying right now. I've got to have something right now." He said, "Sure, okay. I'll give it to you." Well, he sold the birthright. He sold it. It was no longer his. It was given to another. And secondly, we need to understand that God had before these boys were born, told their mother that Jacob was going to reign over the oldest, that the elder was going to serve the younger. She had already told him that. God had already told her that is. We need to understand that Esau sold the birthright and that God had before determined that the elder was going to serve the younger anyway. This was in God's good providence. Even though Esau was wrong in doing what he did, even though he sinned greatly, God overruled it for the greatest story of salvation. Well, there's four people involved in this story, and this is who they represent. Isaac represents God the Father. And Esau represents God the Son, Christ. And Rebekah represents God the Holy Spirit. And then Jacob represents all believers, all disciples of Christ, all those that are really seeking a blessing, really seeking acceptance with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like Jacob in this story, I'll read it here in a minute. Like Jacob, we may be seeking to be blessed by God Almighty. We may be seeking to be blessed by the Father. But we need to realize that the only one that God's going to bless is His oldest son. The only one that has the rightful blessing, has the right to the blessing, is the oldest son of God, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's truly earned it. He's the only one that the Father is really going to bless. Really bless, I mean. Put all things into His hand. Bless Him. He's the firstborn of the Father, you see. Christ is. So if I'm going to get the blessing from the Father, which is only due His Son, somehow or another, I'm going to have to be His Son. I'm going to have to appear before the Father as being His Son. I'm going to have to appear that way. If I do, if the Father sees me as being His Son, oh, He's going to bless me. He loves His Son. He accepts His Son. And He's going to bless me as being His Son. If I appear to be His Son, God's going to bless me. If I don't, if I appear to be a hypocrite, He's going to curse me from all eternity. And the only one that's going to be able to prepare me, to teach me when, how, and with what to approach the Holy Father with, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to give me this understanding, you see. The one who was there to hear the Father and the Son talking. So let's read it here in Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Here's the story. And it came to pass, verse 1, that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his oldest son, and said unto him, My son? And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. Here am I. And he said, Behold now, I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore I take, I pray thee, thy weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt me. Take me some venison and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah, his wife, heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Well, Esau left. He went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me, this is what he said, Bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Rebekah speaking to Jacob here. Obey my voice according to what I command thee. Go to the flock and fetch me from thence two kids of goats, two good kids of the goats, and I'll make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I'll seem to him as a deceiver. And I'll bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse. My son, if this thing doesn't work out, I'll take the blame. Only just obey my voice and go fetch them. Fetch me them. So he went. He went. And fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son, Esau, took Esau's clothes, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the goats, the kids of the goats, on his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared, into the hand of her son, Jacob. Now, here's the story. Old Jacob wants the blessing of his father. He wants the blessing. He wanted it before, so he tried to scheme his way into it by asking Esau for it. He wanted the blessing, but he doesn't know how to get it. He knows his father well. He knows his father is a just man. a righteous man. He knows his father well, and he knows he's a man of God, and he thinks and he acts strictly according to God's holy law. He's just not going to do things just up in any old way. He's going to do things the way they're supposed to be done, his father, Isaac. And surely he thinks, my father is going to bless Esau. That's just the way it's supposed to be, and my father is a man of God, and that's who he's going to bless. No way around it. He remembers Esau's promise to him back in that field, but he doesn't believe it. He thought, that's too good to be true. Surely I couldn't have gotten it by that way. Surely not. So Rebecca, his mother, she has to instruct him. She tells him. She knows a way. The way. The only way. She knows the way that he can approach his father and be accepted. So she instructs him. And she prepares him in every way necessary to approach Isaac. And even so, I'm a sinner, and I'm seeking God's blessing. I'm seeking to be accepted by God. I'm seeking salvation. But I know God's holy. I know God's righteous. I know God acts in strict accordance to His justice, His holy law. He only will accept those who have kept His law perfectly, in deed and in thought. Only those will be accepted by Him. Surely, I say, that God will only accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely. He's the only man ever been righteous before the Father. He's the only man approved of God, well-pleasing to the Father. But the Holy Spirit, who was there in the beginning to hear this covenant, to hear this story, to hear what the Father demanded of me, the Holy Spirit comes to me and instructs me. Tells me, the Holy Spirit tells me about that covenant between the Father and the Son. And He tells me He knows a way, the only way that you're going to be accepted by this Father. I know the way, the Spirit says. I know the way. So the Holy Spirit instructs me how to be saved, how to approach the Father. He instructs me. Well, there were four things needed here in this story in order for Jacob to be accepted by Isaac, his father. Four things needed, and there are four things that we need to be accepted by the Father. First of all, we've got to have a sacrifice. First of all, we've got to have a sacrifice to approach this holy God. Look at it here in verse 3 of chapter 27. Isaac tells his son Esau, and he says, therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and get me some venison, and make me savory meat. Kill them. Kill that deer. Make it savory to me, such as I love. I love venison, he said. Bring it to me that I may eat in order to bless you. Let me have your attention here. This is a beautiful story. Gather all your wits about you and listen to this story, please. Cross everything out. The father says, son, bring me some venison. I love venison. I like red meat. I like wild meat, red meat. And Esau says, well, how about something a little easier to get? It's so hard to go out in the field, you know, and hunt all day long. Sometimes you don't find. Sometimes it takes 2 days, 3 days. I've done it before and didn't get anything. How about something a little easier? How about I go down to the chicken coop and get you some good chicken? And the father says, no. I've got to have venison, red meat, wild meat. You see, venison here represents that which God provides. Men don't raise deer, do they? No, men raise cattle, though. Men don't raise deer. God does. He replenishes the earth with deer as He sees fit. And it's red meat. And it illustrates the blood, too. Well, the son may have said, Esau may have said this. Well, how about some hamburger? I got some venison left over, and I'll mix it with something else, and we'll get enough of it to make you happy. Make you say, no, he says. That won't do. I want fresh red meat. I want venison.
Go out there and get me some venison. And God the Father is holy, just, righteous. He will by no means clear the guilty. No means. He says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The soul that sinneth must surely die. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Only the blood. Well, somebody may say, well, surely now. Sure. It doesn't take the death of Jesus Christ. Surely something, Christ didn't have to come to die. Surely God can just up and forgive sin. No! Without the blood, there's no remission for sin. Blood, you must come with blood and blood only. A sacrifice. Well, surely God will accept my repentance and my faith and forgive my sin. No! Blood. It's only the blood. Only Christ's sacrifice that I'll accept. That's all. Well, how about if I bring the sacrifice of Christ and then my works of obedience? No! Just the blood. Just red, wild meat. Just the blood. Just come pleading the blood. That's all. It's the only thing I'll accept. Only thing. But look at verse 5 with me. Rebekah heard this. She heard Isaac speak to Esau, his son, and Esau took off, went to the field to hunt for venison, to bring it. And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard your father talking to your brother. And he said this, he said, bring me some venison, make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless you before the Lord my day. Now therefore, my son, you obey my voice according to that which I commanded. Listen to me now. Listen carefully. She heard what the father demanded of the son to be accepted. She heard. And she's going to tell it to Jacob. She said there in verse 8, you better listen to me now. You better listen to me and do as I say. You better. Look at verse 9. Go to the flock and fetch me 2 goats and I'll make them. I'll do what's necessary. I'll make them savory meat for your father, just like he likes it. You go down there and get those 2 goats, and I'll prepare them for your dad. And so she did. Verse 14. Jacob went down there and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made them savory meat, just like daddy liked it. She did it. She did it all for the son. And even so, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through this word. The Holy Spirit, who was with the father and with the son, in the giving of that covenant, the Holy Spirit overheard what the Father demanded of the Son. He heard it. He knows what the Father demands. And in mercy and grace, God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to us to instruct us the only way to get to the Father. And the Spirit says to us, just like verse 8, you better listen. You better listen up now. You better hear me. He that hath ears to hear, you better hear the word of the Lord. You better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Or be damned. You better bow to the perfect instructions of God and Spirit concerning Christ. Don't work. Try to work it out your own way. You better look to Christ. No other way. Look to the Lamb. And the Holy Spirit says, like in verse 9, it says, now you go down, you fetch 2 kids from the flock, and you come, and I'll make them acceptable to the Father. The Holy Spirit tells us in His goodness and kindness, He gives us repentance and faith. He shows us the lamb slain that's already been prepared. You know those, she told Jacob to go down in that pen to get 2 kids of goat. How did she know there was 2 goats, 2 kids there? 2 firstlings, that's the only sacrifice that was acceptable. 2 firstlings of the flock, without blemish, without spot, without blemish. Isaac knew good meat when he tasted it now. That better be the best one. How did she know there's 2 baby goats down there? Oh, she knew. She knew what was in there. Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Already prepared. Already prepared. Before the sinner ever sinned a sin. And God the Father tells us by faith, He gives us justifying and regenerating faith. He gives us wisdom and righteousness, 2 kids. He gives us sanctification, redemption. He says, by faith, look to Christ. Look to the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes that and applies it. By faith we come, we believe, we pray, we seek, we lay hold on the life, the death. We lay hold. Jacob went down there and grabbed a hold of those 2 kids.
Said, this is my only hope of the blessing. He wasn't going to let go of them, buddy. He drug them up there hiding her, you know, up there to his mother. And by faith we lay hold on the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lay hold on Him by faith. And the Holy Spirit takes that blood, that sacrifice of Christ, and applies it to our hearts, applies it to our lives. He does it just like Rebecca did there in verse 14. She took those kids and made them just like the Father liked. Made it savory meat to the Father. And the Lord takes our repentance and our faith, our looking to Christ, which is still imperfect, and makes that sacrifice. He imputes that righteousness to us. Wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He puts it all on our account. Makes it acceptable to the Father. Makes us acceptable to the Father. You see, God the Father loves the Son. He loves the Son, and He accepts only Him and His perfect righteousness. And He'll only accept us through His imputed righteousness, through God the Spirit making us like Christ, making us appear to be the Father. The broken body and shed blood of Christ, the death and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sacrifice. So old Jacob had to have a sacrifice to come to the Father to be accepted. Secondly, look at this back in chapter 25. Jacob had to have a covering. Look at chapter 25, verse 24. Chapter 25, verse 24. Now, Rebekah here is giving birth to these two sons. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Two men considered in her. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. Esau. Look back at chapter 27, verse 11. Chapter 27, verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, there was such a vast difference in these two sons. A vast difference between Jacob and Esau. And this is what Jacob said. My father is going to feel me. Or verse 11. Mom, Esau is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. Dad's going to take one feel of me. Search me out, and he's going to know who I am. There's no way around it. No way. Esau's hairy. I'm smooth. He's big. I'm little. He's strong. I'm weak. We're opposites. Totally opposites. And Rebekah says, son, just obey me. Verse 13. Upon me be thy curse, my son. Just obey my voice, and you go do what I say. You fetch those sacrifices. You fetch them. Have faith in me, son. I'll bear the blame. You just believe in me and trust in me and rely upon me to do the job. And she did just that. Verse 15, she took that goodly raiment of her eldest son. She took Esau's clothes and put them on Jacob. Verse 16, she put skins of the goats on his hands and the smooth of his neck. Smooth of his neck. And even so, we're sinners. We're opposites of the Lord Jesus Christ. Totally opposites. Christ is holy. I'm altogether sinful and undone, unjust. He's spotless. I'm a leper. Surely now, surely God's going to, I'm going to go in the presence of God and He's going to spot something on me and He's going to see I'm nobody but a sinner. So how can I appear to be Christ? Christ is love. I'm unlovely. He's able. I'm unable. He's life. I'm dead in trespassing and sin. And we say in doubt and fear, just like old Jacob here, forgetting the promise. Forgetting. You know, I bet you, you know, Esau was daddy's favorite. And Jacob was a mama's boy. I guarantee you that that Rebekah told Jacob about that promise. Jacob, now don't worry now. I know daddy is partial to him, but God told me that the elder serve the younger. I bet she told him that. Well, he forgot all about that. And he came in doubt and fear. And we do the same thing, although the promise is right before us. And we come to say, now, if I come to God, surely. We read that verse over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, that you'll receive in His body the deeds done, whether they be good or evil. And we say, oh, that's me. God's going to spot something in me. He's going to kill me, surely. He's going to search me and try me and see this me, a sinner. And He'll see all my hypocrisy.
He'll see how I'm trying to play the part of a Christian, and he'll damn me. He'll curse me on the spot. Surely. But no, God's Spirit says, comes to us and says, you must not doubt. You must believe. I've told you the promise. I've given you the promise of the Word. If it doesn't work out, I'll bear the blame. I gave the promise. I give the Word. I applied it to your heart. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him and be saved. There's no other way. No other way. And then He takes the robe of Christ's spotless righteousness and puts it on me. He takes the skins and puts it on the hand. That's Christ's works. Makes my works righteous before God. Takes the skins and put it on my neck. That's Christ's love and bowing, submission, obedience, perfect submission to the Father. He makes me appear to be obedient and working righteousness in the Father. Feels me. That's my boy. No doubt about it. That's my boy. And then I look, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, I look and feel just like Christ. There's something else that's needed, though. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 of chapter 27. And he came near. Old Jacob came near. Ah, oh, I bet he was shaking in his boots. He came near and kissed the Father. And the Father smelled of him. Smelled his clothes. Smelled of him. He smelled of him. The Father tasted the sacrifice, said, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's like I like it. And then he smelled around on his son. He so closely scrutinized his son, Jacob, so closely. He examined him that Jacob had to even smell like Esau. Oh, man, how's he going to do this now? You know, Esau was an outdoorsman. Like I said a while ago, Isaac loved Esau. Esau was a hunter, fisherman, an outdoorsman, strong, virile, dark, tall, dark, and handsome fellow. Jacob was a bookworm, a mama's boy, keeping sheep out there. Esau was strong and courageous. Jacob was kind of timid, you know. And Isaac liked the way old Esau did things. He liked everything about his oldest boy. He saw something about fathers for their oldest son. That's just the way it is. He thought he loved the way old Esau did things. He liked his courage and so forth. He liked his ways. He liked everything about his boy Esau, even the way he smelled. Smells of the field. And I liked the field. Isaac was a man of the field. And he liked the way Esau even smelled, you see. And God, the holy God, loves his boy, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves his son above all else. He likes the way he looks. He likes the way he talks. He likes the way he walks. He likes the way he smells. He's a sweet-smelling savor to the Father. He's righteous. He's holy. He's perfect. He's well-pleased with that son of his. This is the reason for predestination. The Scripture says we're ordained unto good works. The Father's ordained that we should walk in them. This is the reason God has predestinated the people to be conformed to the image of Christ, you see. Like Barnard said, God saw his son one day and he loved him so much, he said, I got to have a whole bunch of them just like him. You know, I love that daughter of mine so much. If I was going to have another child, I'd just be pleased for every one of them to be just like her. I love everything about her. And I'd just be happy if all of them were like her. Mindy wouldn't be too happy, 10 or 20. I'd take them because I love that girl. And the Father loves his son. And he's predetermined before the foundation of the world, if he's going to have any more children, they're going to have to be like that one. Just like that one. I mean, once you've had the best, you're not settled for second best. And we're altogether sinful in God's sight. From a sole of our feet to the top of our head, there's no soundness in us, the Scripture says. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefied sores. You ever smelled of rotten, decaying flesh? That's what the Scripture says we smell like to God. It doesn't it? Wounds and beauty, fruit. We stink to God Almighty. Is that hurt our pride? Doesn't us. We stink to God Almighty. Oh boy, we smell of sin. We smell of death. And we come before God Almighty. We're going to come now. We are. Every man, every woman here, young person, going to stand before God Almighty someday. Stand right in front of Him. And God's going to... And there better not be one whiff. He better not smell one whiff of sin.
What's that smell in my kingdom? Smells of self-righteousness. Who is that? Spot him out. There he is. Get him out of here.
That's self-righteous Pharisee. I'll not have it. I want to smell the sweet savor of my Son. I want everybody to be perfumed with His righteousness, not theirs. That's a fly in the ointment, you see. Well, we come before God by faith, trusting in Christ, wrapped in Christ's righteousness. The Holy Spirit imputes His righteousness to us. He takes that skin on, puts it on our neck and our lives and the works of Christ. And we're unto God a sweet-smelling savor. Sweet-smelling savor. All this had to be done. They had to have a sacrifice, had to have a covering, had to smell right. Boy, this was strict, wasn't it? Well, there's something else that needs to be had here. Old Jacob couldn't just rush in and demand the blessing. It wasn't his. What if old Jacob would run in there, Daddy, I heard you're going to give out blessings. I won't. I want one. Who are you? I'm Jacob. You don't deserve a blessing. The blessing goes to my oldest son. Now get on out of here before you get in trouble. That's what people are doing before God, aren't they? I decided to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I've decided to let God put me in His family. Isn't that big of me? Ooh. Old Jacob couldn't come just any old time. He couldn't come when it's too soon. He couldn't come before the Father had promised to give a blessing. He couldn't come too late after the blessing had already been given. Had to be just right. Just the right time. Just the right day. And only Rebekah knew when. Only she could reveal to him the proper time. Only she. Jacob was ignorant. He didn't know. He never would have known that today was the day of salvation. He never would have known that. Today was the day of blessing. And she ran in and said, Jacob, you come here, you come on. You better go get your sacrifice. Come on, bring it in here and I'll close you. And get in there now. Right now. Before Esau gets back. He'd never know. You see? And we can't rush into God's presence just any old time. Just when we get good and ready. Today is the day of salvation. It may be too late. If we just piddle around, playing around on this earth, someday it may be too late. Oh, God. Help us all to see that. We may die tomorrow. 18 or 20 or 45. If we don't know Christ now, we're goners. Maybe tonight. We can't just when we get good and ready. Not when it's too soon. We can't come to God unless we really believe Christ from our hearts by faith. And we can't come when it's too late. When God's just made reprobates of us. It's got to be according to the wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit to tell us when the time is. To work on us and woo us. Reveal the truth to our hearts. Say, get to Christ. Now's the time. Now's the time. It had to be the time, you see, the right time. Well, let's look here, and I'll let you go. Jacob, let's look at old Jacob coming before his father Isaac. Look at verse 18 of chapter 27. Verse 18. Old Jacob, he came unto his father, and he said, my father, he used the term, Dad. And his father said, here am I, who are you? The father demanded he identify himself. Who are you? Before you approach me, who are you? Look at verse 19. Jacob said unto his father, "Well, I'm Jacob."
Oh, no, no, no. He didn't say that, did he?
"It's me, God. Aren't you glad to see me?" I heard Oral Roberts say that one time. It's me. Who are you? Oral Roberts. Well, I've been waiting on you. You've heard that story. No, what did old Jacob say? He said, "I'm Esau. I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done according to you told me to do. Now I pray you, eat, take this sacrifice, bless me. I'm Esau." And we've got to do the same thing. We've got to come by faith and say, "I'm Christ. I was crucified with Christ. Take His sacrifice. In Christ I'm righteous, I'm holy. I did what you demanded of me in Christ. Take it, bless Christ." Look at verse 20. "And Isaac said unto Jacob, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? How'd you get this?" How'd you come across this? Did Jacob say, "Well, I went down and I worked real hard to get it. It took me a while, but I finally found it. I just lucked out, you know, and got it. And here I am." No, he said, verse 20, he said,
"The Lord brought it to me."
Oh, boy. And if God ever asks a true disciple of Christ, ever asks one of His children, a true Christian, "How is it that you received this faith? How is it that you come before me? How did you get to heaven? If you want to enter into my kingdom, what right have you got to be here? How did you do it?" "Well, I believed on Jesus. When I was 12 years old, I made my decision. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And then I made Him Lord when I was 22. And now I'm supposed to be here. I'm claiming the promise." That's not what the disciples said. "How is it that you're to be here in my presence? What right have you got to be? I've got no right in myself. The Lord did it to me. God, you saved me. You're the one that did all this for me. You're the one that did the work. Unto you be the glory, power, and strength, and honor. You did it. Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation is the Lord." Look at verse 22. "And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and his father felt him, felt around on him, patted him, touched him, patted him on the back, you know, felt of him, and he said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands of Esau.'" And verse 23, "And he didn't discern him."
He didn't see who he really was, because his hands were hairy,
as his brother's Esau hands. And the father says, "I come before the Father. I come before Him in prayer or worship. I come before Him in Christ. I come before Him and Christ examines me. He examines my life closely. Feels me, touches me, looks me over. And he says, he's got the same old voice. I hear it all the time. But he looks like Christ. His works are righteous. He's holy. He looks like Christ. He finds no sin in us, although we're real close to the Father." And look at verse 24. "And his father said again, 'Are you really my son? Are you my son, Esau?'" He asked him again now, "Who are you? Who are you now?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm Esau. I'm Esau." And God asks us over and over again, prove the sincerity of love, of your sincerity of your love. Who is it you're claiming? Huh? Examine yourself, see whether you've been who's your righteousness? How are you going to appear before God now? In Christ. Verse 25. And he said,
"Come a little closer." You know, the more you plead that, the closer you get to the Father, to His heart. Bring it near now. Bring me that offering.
Bring that sacrifice and I'll eat it, that my soul may really bless you. And he brought it near to him. He ate it. He brought him wine. Said before his mother prepared bread, didn't it? Wine, bread, meat. And his father drank. And by faith, you know, how do we commune with the Father? What is the closest communion we can get with the Father? Bring it near. The bread and the wine. You really Esau now? You really trust in Christ? Eat the bread and the wine. Show me. Show me. Better not eat it unworthily now. Better not eat in hypocrisy. Come on now, come a little closer. Let me look you over a little bit closer. In verse 26. And his father Isaac said to him now, here in final order, come near now and kiss me. Kiss me. Ooh. What does the scripture say? Peter, a real disciple? Think he knows it? You know, a kiss. My wife knows what's behind my kisses. She knows when it's a kiss of love and when it's just a kiss of duty. It's time to kiss, you know. God knows. Oh, my soul. God knows what's in the heart. That's what we're talking about. Do you have that covering? Has God made you a sweet-smelling savor of Christ? Are you in Christ by faith? Can you, in sincerity, kiss the Son? Kiss the Father? You know, Paul said, I want to be found. How? How? I want to be found in Him. When I get before God, before the Father, I want to be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness. I don't want God to feel on my garment and feel an old piece of cloth. Or a new piece of cloth sold to an old one, you know. I don't want Him to feel my self-righteous rags. Do you? I want Him to feel Christ. I want Him to see Christ's righteousness. I don't want Him to smell any sin on me. I want to appear to be just like Christ. I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is through the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And there's only one way that we'll be accepted by the Father, and that's how. We're accepted in the blood, in Christ, His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one He loves. He's the one He'll accept. And only those that are in Him. By faith. Real faith. Stand with me and I'll dismiss this in prayer.
Our Father, we thank You for Your the glorious, the beauty of Your Word. We thank You for the truth of it. We thank You for Your wisdom. We exalt You in Your wisdom, how that You have truly made all things speak of Christ. We rejoice in this beautiful story. I ask You that You would make everyone in here rejoice in it. Make Christ dear to everybody. It's not too much. Our God's great. He can do great things. And I ask You to give faith to those that don't have it. Impute the righteousness of Christ to those that don't have it. Make those fall in love with Christ who aren't yet lovers of Christ. but more lovers of self. In His name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed.